We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and saying, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thy hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the words of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, as you all are very familiar with the book of Acts and just simply what it is, this is Acts of the early church and the things that happened in the early church and about some of the great things that happened there in the early church. And so Acts of the Apostles, the title just simply means what it says. And so if I would take a text, my text would be the way things ought to be in the house of God, the way things ought to be in the house of God. And so the book of Acts gives us the blueprint of God as for the local church. And it gives it very explicit. And I'm a local church man. I want everybody to understand that. I like all the good Bible preachers on television. I like all the good things, the additional things that you can listen to and all those kind of things. But I still yet believe that everybody ought to be involved in a local church. I believe that is very imperative. I believe that's the way that God intended for it to be. These other things can be wonderful aids to help us to grow in the Lord. But I believe in the local church because Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, just an illustration here. A few years ago, one of the best-selling books in America was written by Rush Limbaugh. Now, I know you all have heard of him. He's a talk radio host and those kind of things. And he wrote a book a few years ago, and the title of the book was The Way Things Ought to Be. And in that book, he tells about the predicament that our nation has gotten in politically, and he offers some suggestions as how to get out of the mess that our nation's in. I don't know whether any of you have ever read the book or not, but it's a pretty good read, and most of us tonight, I believe, would concur that politically we are in a mess in America. I don't think anybody would reject that. And so, in some places, we're in a mess, religiously speaking. In a lot of places. In other words, if you could go from church to church, you would discover that some things are in sad situation in our churches in America today. And Rush Limbaugh has spoken the things that he believes that about the political institution in the world. And most of those things that he talks about, I wholeheartedly agree with what he said. Now, if he can draw the attention of thousands of people about the way things ought to be in America, I am persuaded tonight that some of God's people are to take up the blessed Word of God and tell how things ought to be in the church and the way that God set it up and ordained it for it to be. In other words, and I want us to see this right here, because this is what is important. This is why it's important that we do in the church what's a way that it ought to be. Because if we'll do these things that we ought to do, then that frees God up to do the things that He wants to do. Did you hear what I said? In other words, if we'll do the things that we ought to do, then that will free God up to do the things that He wants to do. Because sometimes God can't do for us in a church because we haven't done what we ought to do. We don't have things in order. We don't have things. We're not being spiritual like we're supposed to. We're not praying like we're supposed to. We're not reading the Word of God. We're not visiting. We're not testifying. We're not doing some of the things. And therefore, God cannot bless us like He wants to. So I believe that God means for all of us consider the ways that things ought to be in the house of God. In the Bible, God has given us ways that things ought to be in the church. And we get these things in the church the way they ought to be. Natural that when we get things in the house of God, the way that God ordained it to be, and the way that God says it for it to be, it's just natural that according to God's promises that He will build His church. That He will bless His people. Now someone says here, this is so true. If you make much of Jesus, then Jesus will make much of you. In other words, when we come into the house of God, it ought to all be about Jesus. It ought to all be about exalting Him. Make much of Him. Brag on Him. Exalt Him. Magnify Him. And whenever that we begin to make much of Jesus, then God's going to make much of us. He's going to bless us in the house of God. And so, when you live the way that you ought to live, when we preach the way that we ought to preach, when we teach the way that we ought to teach, when we minister the way that we ought to minister, when we exalt the Lord Jesus, whether it's through singing, whether it's through testimonies, whether it's through preaching, whether it's through teaching, whatever it is, when we exalt the Lord Jesus the way He ought to be exalted, it's just natural that God's going to do the things that He wants to do in the church. Now, I read that scripture, though, to tell you and or to show you just a little portion of scripture when they begin to do what the way that God wanted them to do, how that God began to work in their midst. And I'm sick and tired tonight of what man thinks he can do. How important that a person thinks they are. And so there's not a single church builder within himself, because this is Jesus is the church builder. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so, I just want to say, I don't want to be a big dog in the church. All I want to be is, I just want my life to count for God, don't you? I just want my life to mean something. I just want my life to count for the Lord. And so, I don't have to be the big I and all the time. And God, and I want to come to that place where I know that that I don't know how. That I don't know how to build a church. I know all the mechanical things. I can quote all of those kind of things that you go to seminars and they teach you how to build a church, and they teach you how to grow a crowd and all those kind of things. I know all of that mechanical thing. But I want to admit tonight that I just want to get to the place where I say, Lord, I don't know how, but please take me and use me to build Your church. That's where I want to get in my life. Just say, Lord, I don't know how, but I'm making myself available. I want You to take me and to use me to build Your church. And I like the word church. I like that. And I believe the name is very important. Upon this rock, I will build my church. I don't know whether you've noticed it or not, or whether you listen or pay any attention, and I'm not fussing at you whether you do or not, but have you seen how many people, or how many local assemblies are not being called Union Temple Church anymore? They're being called Union Temple Fellowship. They're being called Union Temple this, Tabernacle or Temple or something. In other words, they're taking the word church off of the title. Now, I don't know whether that bothers you or not, but that bothers me. Because Jesus didn't say, upon this rock I'm going to build my fellowship. Upon this rock I'm going to build my temple. But he said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church. And so I think that it's very, very important. And also, not only do I like the word church, I like the word Baptist. I sort of like that word, and it means a lot to me also, because I know that what we believe. And so here, and now looking at the text, some things are mentioned in the text, or the scripture that I read, which shows us the way things ought to be. You study the book of Acts, and your life will be filled with fire to go out and to do the work of God. And I know that's what we all want. We want our life to be filled with the fire of God, that we might be able to go out and do the work of God. You've heard me say so many times from this pulpit that you cannot do the work of God in the energy of the flesh. It takes the power of God. And so today some strange things are going on. We have what they're calling and what they're advertising, what they're promoting today as friendly churches, user-friendly, they say. In other words, what I take that to mean is, and in my judgment, in my understanding of what a user-friendly church is, it ends up there saying, we'll do anything under the sun to get people in. We'll do anything under the sun to get people to fill the pews. Now listen, the church, the Bible says, and God has not, as I look at this right here, God has not necessarily called us to get big crowds. He has called us to allow Him to use us to win souls and build a church. He has called us, and He wants us to allow Him to use us to win souls, and that's how you build the church, is through the winning of souls. That's how the church is built. And so the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so when God builds the church, but you say, now you can get all this church house filled with people, and you can do all the promotion, get things and get people in, say it's user friendly and all those kind of things. But what you need to realize is people will disperse. In other words, people are fickle. People are be here today and gone tomorrow. But whenever we allow God to build the church by going out and getting people saved and born again and become a child of God and saved by the marvelous grace of God, then that's the way the church has been. As a preacher, I learned this a long time ago. You can be hero today and you can be zero tomorrow. That's the way it is. That's just the way that it is with people. So don't ever get too caught up when the big crowds and all those kind of things. And if it's not the way that God says to build the church. I've been preaching, I guess, for now on to 40 years. And when I started, I thought that someday, and you say, you really, surely even that young, you didn't, wasn't that stupid, but I guess I was. I believe that someday everybody would accept what I was doing as a pastor and they would be thrilled to follow me, but that just didn't happen. And it don't happen. And there were several things here that the Bible says are the way things ought to be. And here's the first thing. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After Jesus speaking to the disciples. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. That's the mandate which is given to us by God. Let us forget. Don't let us forget tonight. As saved people, as the children of the living God tonight, don't let us forget that God has given us a great commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, our blueprint of how to build a church, how to establish a church, how that a church is going to be in the order that God wants it to be, is found here in the book of Acts. In chapter 2, if you want to flip back and turn with me as we look at a couple of things here. In chapter 2, you see the empowering of the Holy Spirit that came upon the church. You'll see when the church talked about the power of the Holy Ghost as a rushing mighty wind came upon the church. And after the Holy Spirit came upon the church, the Bible said that Simon Peter stood and preached and 3,000 who were saved and were added to the church. 3,000 people were saved because he preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And then in chapter 3, when Peter and John went up to the temple to pray, they met a lame man. And the lame man was begging alms. And Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee in the name of the Lord. Stand up and walk. And the Bible says he was healed. And as a result, all the people were filled with amazement. And they ran together into them in the porch, greatly wondering. Now this is after they were endued with power from the Holy Ghost. And then in Acts chapter 4 and verse 4, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of men were about 5,000. Acts chapter 5 and verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes both of men and women. And do you see the pattern here? Do you see what's happening after the Holy Ghost fell upon these disciples? The Lord added. Multitudes were added. Believers were the more added. They all came. And they wondered at what was happening. When they seen the mighty working hand of God. When they seen sinners converted and changed and made into a new person. Seen people healed and all of these things that were happening there through the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 6, the deacons were appointed. You all know the story that Stephen, the first deacon, began to preach to the Jews. And began to tell the Jews how it was them, that they were the ones who were guilty of crucifying the Lord Jesus. They were the ones who had him crucified. And the Bible says, and the word increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen gave that defense. And as a result of his preaching, many believed. Acts chapter 8, Philip went down and joined himself with the Ethiopian eunuch. Was writing and reading about the Lord Jesus. And Philip asked him, did he know what he was reading? He says, how can I know unless somebody shows me? And Philip jumped in the carriage and chariot and began to preach unto him Jesus. And we see he believed. Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus was saved. Acts chapter 10, Peter got the vision to take the gospel to all the people. You remember the story whenever he saw the sheep coming down from heaven, had all manners of animals in it, clean and unclean. And Jesus said to him, eat. Or the angel did, and Peter said, I cannot eat of anything that's unclean. And you all know what was said. He said, whatsoever God has made clean, let no man call it unclean. And that was simply saying, it's not Jews and Gentiles anymore. You go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And we know that Peter went down there and preached the gospel to Cornelius and his household, and they were saved. So the New Testament pattern to take the gospel into all the world and win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's one of the ways that things ought to be. Us as his children, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, taking the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, taken the gospel into not only, you say, well, not the world, but into our communities, into our houses, into our workplaces, into wherever that we go, taking the gospel in. I think Kenny's testimony a while ago is very goes along with this message very well. In other words, what I'm saying is, so many people are very seldom ever witnessed to that it shocks them when they are witnessed to. They don't know what to act. And who is that indictment on? Who is that? I believe that tells us that we as Christians are not building the church the way that it ought to be. And the way that it ought to be built is by us when we come into contact with other people, that we share Jesus with them. That we tell them about Jesus. And so here, God will bless the church when things are how that they ought to be. And I got so convicted when I was studying this. And you say, you get convicted? Yeah, some of you might not think I do, but I do. I got so convicted over when I read this that we're going to start visitation next week if it's just me. We got to get out and get people saved. I believe that I've sat around wondering about this and that and all that kind of stuff. But what I'm concerned about now is these people up and down these roads that need somebody to come by and tell them about Jesus. They need somebody to come by and tell them that there is a better way. They need somebody to come by and tell them that no matter what they have done and no matter how much guilt they're feeling over their past life, that there's a God in heaven that will forgive them and cleanse them and save them and make a new creature out of them. And so, here, that must be done. We got to do it. I just have a few more days left to do it. And so, here, the church, not only this, but the church must have the right atmosphere. Now, I don't know whether atmosphere is the right word to use or not. I don't know. We talk a lot about atmosphere. You know, people said, I go to this restaurant and eat because it's got a good atmosphere. I don't know what they mean when they say that. I don't care about the atmosphere. I want good food. And so I don't know whether the word atmosphere is the right word or not. But the way things ought to be in the church includes a right atmosphere. And right here, and it ought to be an atmosphere, and you take that word atmosphere, whatever you mean, ought to be a feeling or a, it ought to be a sensed or you feel like that this is the way that this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what everybody else is doing. This is what we all are doing. So it ought to be an encouragement for us to pray. There ought to be an atmosphere in the church that would encourage people to pray. Now listen, in verse 24 and verse 31, they were encouraged to pray. In verse 24, they began to pray. If you'll look at the scripture that I read tonight. These individuals had been threatened. And they were lifting up their voices to God. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. It was just a natural thing for them to pray. Whenever, no matter what, when they pray. Where did they get that from? Where did they learn that prayer must become before anything? Where did they get that? They learned that from the Lord Jesus when they were following Him. The disciples remembered that before Jesus, before every decision He made, He went to pray. He prayed all night. While others were doing other things, our Lord was alone praying. Boy, if Jesus, God Himself, felt the need to pray, who in the world do we think that we are, that we can make decisions and we can do those kind of things without first of all praying about it? We must pray. You've heard me say from this pulpit so many times, there's a lot of things we can do after we pray, but we can't do anything until we first of all pray. And so the church ought to be an atmosphere that's seasoned with when people comes in, they sense this is a place of prayer. These people are praying people. These people are people that when somebody's up singing, they're praying for them. When somebody's up testifying, they're praying for them. When somebody, the altar call is given, they're praying for somebody to come and be saved. And so it ought to be an atmosphere to encourage people to pray. And so they prayed. They prayed when they were had needs. And so the Lord told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the coming of the Spirit of God upon them. And these, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, and these all continued with one accord in prayer. In the church, there must be a continual atmosphere that encourages people to pray. They began to pray as the Lord had taught them. And I can think of several reasons why they prayed. First of all, if you look in chapter 4 and verse 24, they prayed because they delighted in the Lord. And they delighted to be in His presence. Does it mean anything to you when you kneel and to pray, or whether you're sitting in your car to pray, or whether you're here at church to pray, or wherever you might be praying? Does it mean anything to you, or do you ever think about it, that when you're praying, that you're entering into the very presence of God? See, they delighted in that. They said, boy, if we pray, we can enter into the presence of God. We can be in the presence of Almighty God when we pray. And they delighted in that. It wasn't a drudgery to them. It wasn't something they had to force themselves to do. It was something they delighted to be able to do, is to pray and come into the presence of God. They lifted up their voices, verse 24, to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. They make much of Jesus, and He will make much of you. And second reason they prayed because they were in danger. Now, if you look in verse 29, the disciples had been threatened. Now, there was very serious time back then to speak in the name of Jesus. Whenever they did, they were threatening them, even with death, if they were to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. So they cried out in verse 39 and said, Lord, behold, they're threatening. And so maybe some here that your testimony has caused you to be threatened in some way or another. May not with bodily harm. You may have been threatened. If you keep testifying, Lord, talking about the Lord, then we're not going to give you this advancement at work. If you keep talking about the Lord, we're not going to allow you to come here and things like that. So, but I think the day is coming when you talk in the name of the Lord that it will be threatening with bodily harm. But maybe we're not there yet. And so we're threatened. People threatening. And now, even in the church as a pastor, you always got these people that'll come up to you. And they say, now, Pastor, I want you to know before we ever start talking, we love you. But then they'll say, but. And boy, when they say but, you might as well go ahead and sit down, because you know they're fixing to unload on you. And so we see these kind of people. And they cried out and said, behold, they're threatening. Eventually, something may be threatening to you.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church, or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.